Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. I'm downright giddy because I actually know the name of America's fastest growing game sensation. Jimmy, are you ready to play? Which one is most agitating?
When you get giddy, I get scared. So I'm ready.
Very afraid. You are the federal head of the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Are you ready to listen to a veritable slew of stories, starting with Adam Hamilton? This is the dude from Kansas who's running for U.S. Senate. I don't say this quickly or casually. It is well considered. He's outside of orthodoxy because I know the H word makes some people bristle. But Adam Hamilton is, even if he's not a full-blown universalist, and he is indeed an inclusivist, that is still outside of biblical Christianity, which says there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Now, not when they get to heaven and discover, oh, I've been believing in Jesus all along. I didn't know his name, but here I am. And sure, I'm in. That's not the timeline. It is appointed unto men once to die, then judgment. You don't get a second chance. Adam Hamilton, a United Methodist pastor of the biggest Methodist church in America, says, yeah, they do. Well, not according to the Bible and not according to 2,000 years of church history. So he got tagged as a universalist, and he's saying, I'm not a universalist. I'm just an inclusivist. In other words, there's people from other religions who will go, but not everybody. And so I would say that he still has the same problem that he's trying to skirt, and that is that God judges and that God does condemn people. And he's making every effort to make soft-pedal God and to make him sound just so nice according to his standards. But the reality is, even with his inclusivist view, if we want to grant that, you still have a God who ultimately is going to damn people. I wonder if an Adam Hamilton has ever, ever said that. I doubt it. Quotes from Hamilton from some of his past books. One of his books, I think it's called like Gray Matters or something like that, which should tell you everything. But another book called Christianity and World Religions says, inclusivists believe that God examines the heart of people of their faith, of other faiths. Yeah, that's exactly the problem, that he examines their hearts. And it's not just intentions that he's judging, it's their sins that he's judging. Does anybody seek after God? Not according to the Bible. Does anybody do good? No, not one. Nobody is seeking after God. Nobody's got good intentions toward God unless they are regenerated by the Spirit of God. So when he says, God examines the hearts of other people, of other faiths. Well, he's focusing on just their good intentions. But they don't have good intentions. That's the problem. Furthermore, even if that were a standard, there are other standards, which would be sins. Adam Hamilton just kicking the can futilely down the street. He says that God sees their true faith in him, and as was the case with Abraham, God credits this faith to them as righteousness. But who did Abraham believe in? He believed in the God of the Bible and his promises. What were his promises? Well, they were the ones given to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant, land, nation, seed. So Abraham was trusting in Jesus. Did he know the name of Jesus? No, but he knew that the seed, the promise, the Messiah was coming. And that was sufficient knowledge because we simply did not have the fullness of God's revelation expressed in Jesus Christ yet, but they did believe in the Christ to come. And that's why Abraham was credited with righteousness because he did believe in Jesus. People on Boingo Boingo aren't believing in Jesus. They're believing in a coconut or they're believing in a carved idol. Adam Hamilton's inclusivism just, it first of all, if you drill into it, it really doesn't accomplish what he's hoping for, which is to backpedal for God. Well, God can't be condemning all of those people. Says who? You? Quote, inclusivists are not saying that all religions are equally valid paths or that their teachings are all true. Right. Exactly. In addition, inclusivists do not necessarily believe that all people would be saved. They are not universalists. Okay, fine. They don't believe that everybody is going to hell, but they still believe some are going to hell. So now the question is, who gets to decide what that number is? Adam Hamilton and the inclusivists, or God himself? It holds that in God's mercy, God will save many who sought him, although they did not understand to call upon the name of Jesus. That is exactly the problem. They don't seek him. They're not really seeking him. Hamilton wrote in, oh, here it is, Seeing Gray. Well, that should tell you everything you need to know. This view seems to me to be more consistent with the justice, mercy, and love of God revealed in Jesus Christ than the exclusivist view. I totally agree with that. Disagree with that. Totally, completely, fully. Because it is unjust of God to not do what he says that he is going to do. The Bible is clear. The Bible is emphatic on this subject. And this is what has been understood for centuries now. And this is why every single missionary goes. And I will say it again. If you believe in the inclusivist position, the meanest thing you can do is to evangelize somebody, because then they will hear the name of Jesus and they can reject the name of Jesus and they'll go to hell when before they were on a path because they had good intentions. That's Adam Hamilton trying to defend himself when it's simply indefensible. That's story number one, Jimmy. How agitating is that?
A little bit.
Ready? Okay, this one maybe isn't super agitating as much as funny. Maybe I should give you the quote first. This is from a 37-year-old televangelist who said, I will not spend a day in jail. I'll never spend a day in jail. You better believe it. See, you know, I talk like that. I talk like that. I ain't scared. Do you know where the dude is right now? That's right. He's in jail. How did you guess? Prophet and leader of Kingdom City Church, Brian Carn Jr., is now in prison, despite declaring that he'd never spend a day in jail, pleading guilty in January to obstructing the IRS efforts to collect more than $600,000 in outstanding taxes. That's the taxes. What's this fellow been raking in? Well, according to his original 2015 tax return, he earned more than $1.4 million. That's 2015. This guy has been raking in the cash. Rather than pay it, they claim that Carn later amended his return and removed nearly $1.3 million in previously reported income after the IRS had attempted to collect the debt. And they placed liens on his properties and trying to levy his bank account. Carn told the court he had no children despite having made $14,600 in child support payments in 2024 alone. These people on TV, they're charlatans is what they are. They're as bad as you think they are, and even worse, because they're bilking people. They're stealing money from people that don't have much of it because, well, frankly, they're greedy too. Catherine Crick. Keep your eye out on her. Get ready for the financial disclosures to hit on her. She'll be revealed as just being nothing but another prosperity hack. The congregation, you'll love this. The congregation is in full support of their prophet. According to the article, this is from Christian Post. They engaged in spirited praise during a worship service as the senior associate pastor. So the associate pastor has a senior and a, so you could be a junior associate pastor. Praised his imprisoned boss as, quote, the world's prophet and the devil's nightmare. He encouraged congregants to ignore media reports and continue to give money to the ministry to support their anointed leader, urging them to sow $50 seeds. Criminals. They are just criminals. These people, this is why Peter devotes a chapter, although as I'm going to try to make the case when we start preaching through 2 Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church, it's really not a book about false teaching per se. It includes a screed against false teachers, but not for the sake of simply identifying false preachers. There's another reason. You'll have to tune in. By the way, if you care to hear any of the sermons from Alpharetta Bible Church, we've compiled them now on Exalt the King. It's a new podcast at fortisplus.org. You can also listen to it wherever you Spotify or Google or Apple. You can listen to those sermons there. Because First Peter and Second Peter, First Peter shows the problems that are from outside of the church, the persecution, the external threats. Second Peter is internal. And it's not just about false teachers. It's actually about you and your faithfulness and living a valorous life. We'll continue playing Which One Is More Agitate next on Wretched Radio.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now. Except one. One King continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom, and that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Conflict. That's not an if in your life, that's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Pick up the pace, Friel. Pick up the pace. This is Wretched Radio. We've only gotten to two agitating stories as Jimmy plays your federal head. Sorry for that. He's representing you in determining which one of these stories is most agitating, starting with Adam Hamilton trying to defend his beliefs that people get to go to heaven without believing in Jesus. Second, a televangelist continues to rip people off. He's in jail for tax fraud, and he's still got his junior, his senior associate pastor encouraging people to sow seeds to his account. Those people are more than agitating. They should cause righteous indignation. Ready for story number three, Jimmy?
I am.
Remember the dude who really wanted to just kill just about every pastor in the country, but he was only able to execute crucifixion-style Pastor Bill Schoeneman, 76 years old. This was in New River, Arizona. It was in April 2025. He'd confessed, this fellow, his name is Sheaf, had confessed to killing the pastor and told investigators he intended to kill a dozen plus additional religious leaders. He had a list of 13 pastors that he was going to kill, saying he believed leaders were leading their congregations astray by teaching that Jesus is equal to God. Oh, I see. So he was a heretic. That's what he was, and a little bit off of his hinges. He expressed a desire to execute every single priest and burn every church to the ground. Well, initially, he confessed it. Not only did he confess it, he asked to be executed. I'm not kidding. At a March hearing, he pled guilty and pushed the court for an immediate death sentence, saying a quick resolution would let the families find closure, but the judge turned him down. An earlier attempt to enter a no-contest plea was also rejected by prosecutors. He told the investigators he wanted the death penalty on the spot. Quote, I want the death sentence. I will plead guilty right now on the spot, and I want the execution date right now. And it was rejected. Why? Why? He admitted it. The death penalty would be a right compensance for what he's done. Compensation for what he's done. It commensurate to what he has done. There we go. This guy should not be breathing anymore. He hung a man upside down in his house. He was found in a pool of blood on his bed. I believe it was even by his family. And it was now the guy, by the way, because his dad died, the murderer's dad died, he's now saying he doesn't want the death penalty, so it's going to go to trial. Why is this taking so long? The guy admitted it. Justice should be swift and certain. And our system, I'm telling you, it has such a low view of humanity. This guy crucified somebody on his wall. I believe it was upside down. And he said, I'm guilty. Give me the death. What more do we need? Millions of dollars in courts. And now we're gonna have to keep this guy alive. It costs not quite $40,000 a year per prisoner, depending on the state. About $36,000, if I'm not mistaken, per year to keep him alive for the rest of his life. That's not justice. And I find that agitating. That was story number three, Jimmy.
Okay.
You ready for story number four?
I am.
I don't know that this fits in the agitating pile. And I don't like even reporting these types of stories. But what in the world? Another Duggar disaster. Did you hear about this one, Jimmy?
I did not.
They were apparently arrested for locking their kids in their rooms and mistreating their kids. In other words, child abuse charges. Four counts of second degree endangering the welfare of a minor and four counts of a second degree false imprisonment, both class A misdemeanors. Now, these are two of the kids. I believe that he's the youngest boy in the Duggar clan. Now, they put padlocks on the children's bedrooms. And then that this kicked off then an investigation, and this is where the story gets downright ugly. I did not know this. So they conducted a further investigation because Joseph was arrested in March on charges of lewd and lascivious molestation of a victim younger than 12 and lewd and lascivious behavior by a person 18 or older. It was a 9-year-old girl making these accusations from 2020. He was extradited to Florida, pleaded not guilty, and requested a jury trial before posting a $600,000 bond and returning to Arkansas. That's the Duggar update. What in the world is what in the world? How can a family have not one but two individuals that behave atrociously? I know their odds are better because they had a squillion children, but nevertheless. And now they've just pled guilty so that they don't have to go to jail on the child abuse charges, and it appears that they won't go to jail because they pled guilty. I don't get that. Just because you plead guilty, if you're guilty, you should plead guilty. It should have nothing to do with your sentence. The sentence should be commensurate to the crime, whether it was discovered, whether it was investigated and determined, or whether you admit it or not. That's story number four, Jimmy.
Okay.
Story number four.
Okay.
Boy. Now, it's Ginger Duggar. She's doing some really good stuff, that one. We should maybe focus a little bit on at least a good Duggar who's doing some good stuff. Ginger wrote an excellent book, and she talked about her fundamentalist upbringing and how it had distorted her understanding of the gospel of grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. So not every Duggar is this way, but there's at least two of them that are. Story number five.
That's it.
Four, five.
No, five. The five is right.
Five is right. All right. Christian driver is told car insurance will be voided unless he removes Jesus Love You stickers from his Nissan Pixo. I never heard of a Nissan Pixo before. Go Skippy Insurance. Never heard of that either. This is from Daily Mail. Informed Simeon Chandra that its underwriting department declined the modification done on the vehicle as per stickers added on the vehicle. You can't have a sticker on your vehicle if you're going to be in there. Okay, if that's their policy, in fairness, if that's their policy, you can't have bumper stickers. Maybe the thinking is it would distract the person behind you when they run into you, increasing the potential for you to be a claim, and they don't want to take that risk. Okay. They can write those rules if they want to, but if it's they remove the sticker because it has Jesus loves you on it, well, then that would be downright agitating is what that would. Jimmy, there would. Did you see the, okay, here's story number six. I don't think that I've got this sound. Well, maybe I do. It was the fellow who owns a restaurant in Idaho. He didn't want them there pro-lifers meeting in his, I got it. Here we go. Here's the clip.
I said everybody is welcome, but I said I don't want this group meeting here.
Sir, we're just meeting.
Now, by the way, I think that's a mistake from that fellow. He claims that everybody's welcome in his diner, but this group of women who are meeting to talk about pro-life issues. So on the one hand, he says, I'm inclusivist, except with you people. Okay, so that means you're not an inclusivist. That's an error on his point, but this does raise a question. Can a business owner stop a group from meeting in his restaurant because he disagrees with, well, it's a moral issue, but we'll just say their politics.
For the first meeting.
I don't care. Go to the public library. This is
sure,
my place of business.
But I thought this was like, we come here all the time. We just already bought our food and stuff.
That's fine.
But you're kicking us out of your... We're just
did I make it very clear that I did not want you here? Yeah, I did a lot of work to get people on the ballot so women would have the right to choose in the state of Idaho. And this is something I do not support, nor does my wife, and it's our business. So we have that choice.
So you're kicking us out. You're kicking out me and Bear, who's starting this group, and you're going to kick us out.
It's like, if the KKK asked me here, I would say no.
So you think pro-lifers are like the KKK? Is that what you're saying?
In my world, it's the same. It's the same sort of concept.
It probably is. All right, so that's atrocious because of that comment. However, I do think as Christians, we need to be careful. That's a private business. It's private property. If he wants to practice discretion. If he wants to, I'm going to use the word discriminate. We better be careful when we say you can't do that, because then we can't either, which means somebody could walk into the private property of our church and we couldn't say you got to leave, because that would be discrimination. So I think that this guy is agitating because of his KKK comment. I'm not so sure about us being like strident that this man has no right to do that, because if he doesn't have a right to do it, neither do we. Jimmy, that turned out to be story number 6.
Okay.
Which one is most agitating?
That was a tough choice. I'm gonna have to go to with the Duggars.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you surprised me.
Why? What did you think I was?
Adam Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, that was the second one. But the Duggars, they won't go away.
Well, they don't have to go away. No, they're not all like that.
They're not all like that, but it just seems increasingly so.
Got an issue with his choice? Text Jimmy 877-282-2337. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.